Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Network in Action. This is Mary Neal. I'm your host for tonight. A friend of mine, whose name is Ben Howard Beazell, will talk to us tonight about courthouse burnings and how they relate to Agenda 21. You're welcome to call in. The telephone number here is 818-572-2947. After the Civil War, courthouses were burned throughout the South. I used to think that was something the Union Army did to punish the South for seceding from the Union. But it was probably more than that. Or why are old court records still being burned? Old court records were found in Franklin County, North Carolina courthouse. And when they were found, the Historic Society was very interested. But they were deliberately burned after they were discovered. And that was only a couple of years ago. There were boxes of historic records. Could they have been old land deeds that we're not allowed to know about? So we're here tonight to talk to Mr. Ben Beazell about this because he's been studying the phenomena of courthouse burnings for some time, and he has related it to Agenda 21. Ben, are you on the line? Ben, are you able to speak? It seems like something is amiss. Isn't that what they say in the old movies? There's something amiss here because Ben is not speaking. Ben, if you're on the line, your audio is not coming through. Could you hang up, please, and reconnect? Hang up and call back. I don't know if he's hearing me either. Okay, he did hang up. And let's hope he calls back. Because I can't talk to you about the courthouse burnings, but I'm very interested in it. It appears to me that there's something in those records that they don't want people to know about. And these are old birth records and land records and deeds and what have you. Why would they be burned, even in 2013? Hello, Ben. I see you're back online.
Hello, Mary.
Wonderful. You came through this time. I could hear your voice. Could you hear me talking to you before?
Yes, I could.
But were you talking to me also?
Yes.
And I did not hear a word. Well, we're glad you're here.
It's one of those things we have to work with.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you were able to hang up and call back. And you know what, Ben? I'm a pupil. I really don't know what's going on with these courthouse burnings, what's going on with this fracking, what it has to do with Agenda 21. I am a pupil, and I really don't know more about it than I did before I met you, really. But you have a lot of information about it, and the people have gathered to hear from you. So you just go right ahead. Did your friend call in yet?
John and I went through it a little bit ago. Was trying to recall what his area code is, if it shows up, if anyone calls in, it's from upstate New York. And,
okay, well, we'll just look out for his call. Great. Okay, well, you just go ahead, sir, and tell us what your ideas are about these courthouse burnings, this fracking, and Agenda 21. Thank you for joining us, Ben.
Well, thank you, Mary. As many of us have been involved in various stages of researching and learning about, as you referred to, Agenda 21. And some of the best material I found on that, surprisingly, was in the appendix or the back of the book that Glenn Beck wrote, a novel about Agenda 21 that has a considerable amount of documentation about Agenda 21 and the global quest, as it were, for control of land, water, military resources, the education system, having a government has disregarded the voice of the people. It doesn't matter how loud we get, it matters that we speak with one voice, that we're clear on what we want, and that we understand that there is, as you and I believe, Mary, an all-knowing and all-seeing, powerful creator who loves us and who is very much concerned for our welfare, the children of God. So the old word is Ben Elohim, the children of God, being in our day a generic term for all of us who seek the welfare of our neighbor. And this has been reflected throughout this entire struggle as more and more nations began to break the stranglehold, which I consider the ignorance is essential to keeping people in the dark and feeding them with what I call sugar water. The methods used, for example, to colonize people is the same methods used to colonize and domesticate animals. And so when we talk about Agenda 21, that's something that people can look up, study those terms. You mentioned fracking, which is the general term understood for hydraulic fracturing. Hydraulic meaning fluids that when they pass through solid structures, pass through rock formations, they cause the rocks to break or fracture. And it's much like when a rock hits your windshield. It doesn't fracture in a straight line because there's all of those binding forces in the windshield that last from breaking evenly. And it'll start with a small crack, and it will continue to fracture over time all the way across the windshield until you get pulled over by the state highway patrol, some law enforcement agency, and they give you a ticket to get your window replaced. Fracturing in rock, which is done with either electrical or chemical forces, which are forced into the ground. And the way that this ties in with the hydraulic fracturing, and when we were talking earlier about the burning of courthouses, is that sometimes when you drill a well, the water comes up tainted, smelling like sulfur. And when tested, it turns out to be flammable. And so the first thing I want people to be aware of is that even those who know the history of the oil industry, in the textbooks it says that oil was discovered in Pennsylvania in 1858 by Colonel Drake. But recently, when we were investigating the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, myself having worked on drilling rigs for a period of about a little over 2.5 years between Bakersfield, California, and out in the middle of the Nevada desert on oil, gas, and geothermal, I, having asked lots of questions and talked to the geologists and the chemical engineers and anybody else I could find that was willing to talk about what was going on right underneath us, the fracturing of these wells, that when these methanes, which are flammable gases, sometimes we can't see them or smell them and require special detection to make sure that you're not drilling into, I'm just going to use the term flammable water. And that's important to know because if you know how to find flammable water, then you also know how to store flammable water. And that's going to come up in later discussions about how this ties into the burning of courthouses. So let's go back to what Mary discussed earlier, that she discovered when I mentioned the burning of courthouses. She found out that in North Carolina they had a courthouse fire. See, we can only suspect. We don't have the records that were burned. We don't know, unless you know somebody who worked at that courthouse before it, caught fire, sometimes under suspicious circumstances. But usually the land records dating back either, decades or centuries, that these records were preserved, very carefully against water and fire. So this various means of causing courthouses to burn, involving the knowledge of electrical and chemical accelerants, they call them, such as petroleum or alcohol, and can be traced back to events in England. I won't go into great detail, but a guy by the name of Guy Fawkes, and I'm just going to spell the last name, is F-A-W-K-E-S, and the attempt to blow up Parliament in the 1500s, and how that tied in with the rule of the King James translation of the Bible, we'll cover some other time. But going back to what Mary discovered was that the burning of the courthouse in North Carolina, when I began to investigate this back in February of this year, we'd already spent several years investigating the burning of cities, earthquake, fire, tsunami. We've traced back, without any extraordinary measures, back to the burning of Alexandria, I believe it was 325 A.D. But that was also the same forensic footprint of an earthquake causing a tsunami, causing a fire that burns for 3 or 4 days. And see, the key to that is that the accelerants, including the methane that's stored with flammable water, that can be stored indefinitely underground until they decide to burn a section of the city, may actually trace back to the burning of Rome under Nero, that was around 69 or 79 A.D. But this knowledge of hydraulic fracturing, tied to the mining industry, tied to deep wells, we trace it back to the account in Exodus chapter 7, where it describes how the Nile River filled with blood. Well, see, blood means oil in those terms. In Old Testament times, oil came from trees, also could be considered to be flammable if it, and required for long-term storage, you know, had to be stored in special containers or left in the ground undisturbed. So do you have any questions at this point, Mary? If not, I'll just continue to tie this together. And I know I'm going back and forth in time. This is essentially how we find these things, is by knowing when we look up the key words, such as the discussion about burning courthouses, ties to an event during the Civil War that is more commonly known as Sherman's March to the Sea.
And Sherman's March to the Sea. Yes, I'm familiar with that. Sherman's March to the Sea. We're enjoying it, Ben. Go right ahead.
Okay. It was referred to as the Savannah Campaign in modern history, Savannah, Georgia, being the terminus or the end of the line of their march. The troops turned northward into the Carolinas and began to burn, you know, a path through the Carolinas. But see, that's where the Cherokee came from, and that's where this ties back to the burning of land records. So for those who want to check, you know, for themselves, the Trail of Tears, which the year 1838 was the year that the Cherokee were forced off their land along with four other civilized tribes. And I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. A recent discovery of a website and a documentary called 500 Nations. Those 500 nations of North America that were systematically removed from their lands by, things related to smallpox, blankets to the Indians, right, gifts that caused widespread, death and decimated the tribes, decimated the tribal leaders. We can trace that to events as recently as the 1980s and 90s throughout Central Africa, with the AIDS epidemic. We'll discuss that some other time. We've got ties back to Agenda 21, the decimation of Native tribes, as identified by Russell Means of the Lakota in his documentary interview called Welcome to the Reservation. As the water supply is diminished, including these massive fires, that they keep putting water on fires, that just uses up your water, including that Gulf of Mexico disaster where they dumped enough water on the platform to sink it, which was a deliberate act to get rid of the evidence of the real cause of destruction of that rig, which was an oil fire. And any child that's been told not to put water on a grease fire would know that there's no full reason for putting water on an oil fire. It just uses up the water. Of course, that wasn't a problem out in the middle of the ocean because they had an unlimited supply of water. But it effectively sunk the rig, destroying the chain of evidence that would have allowed us to determine how the rig was destroyed. How much pressure had come up, some estimate to be 100,000 pounds square inch, or PSI. And that was also a deliberate fracking event. They had drilled into a salt dome that before they flooded with water, it was solid, and it was liquefied to allow the change in the pressure. As pressure goes up inside the well, now you've got a blowout condition, and that's the same thing we see with the hydraulic fracturing onshore and offshore around the world. And so the courthouses are just, as it were, collateral damage, but specifically the destruction of court and land records. Going back to the Trail of Tears, the Cherokee were betrayed by one of their own, and I don't even worry about their names because right, they're dead, but history has a way of repeating itself, especially as long as these corporate contractors, we'll call them, So corporal with a K and contractors with two Ks. So when you see it in print, you kind of get the idea that this is a specific group of people that have stayed in power since the building of empires goes back to, you know, ancient Babylon in Egypt. And that any time that the people were come, as it were, no pardon expression, fat and lazy, but they allowed these corporate interests to govern over their land and water, then the action of setting cities on fire is one that's been practiced since ancient times. And I mentioned the Trail of Tears. As the people are driven out of the South, and this is also documented in Kevin Costner's documentary, 500 Nations. If you go to their website, you can find out which tribes in which order. But it was done by region. And so they would target the tribes in the Northeast during the war with the French. Child, as I heard these stories, I didn't understand why the natives could be so gullible to always choose the wrong side in every European war on this continent. The natives always seemed to pick the loser. That's because the outcome was decided at some point during the war by which side the natives chose. Their leaders, their prophets, told them not to choose sides. They were instructed.
Oh, they did choose sides.
They did. They would choose the English or the French. And then at that point, once they committed themselves, then the allies would withdraw, leaving them, as it were, with old muskets against new repeater rifles. And that process has been repeated throughout the last 200 years, 300 years. We trace that back to the 1760s, what was called the Seven-Day War between the French and the English. And I had ancestors that fought on both sides, and I also had ancestors who were Quakers, and so we thought that meant that they were neutral. No, that meant that they were loyal to the Crown of England. They weren't going to help the Patriots, and if possible, they would turn them in and receive lands, of the people they turned in. If George Washington was a patriot and they could turn his land over to Tories or loyalists, well, a lot of times that would be done under the color of the church. And so it was all done nice and legal, except that, like I said, the natives always lost. In every conflict over the last 500 years, they always seem to choose the wrong allies.
Well, was there a right ally? What I'm asking is, were there any right allies for the Native Americans in any of those battles?
Of course not, because the thing was all engineered by European banking interests. I don't know, did John ever get in?
No, he did.
Okay. I would like to three-way him in. I'm going to let you summarize for a minute, and I'm going to see if I can get John on my phone on a three-way.
Okay. All right.
All right?
Well, okay, that'll be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 5 more minutes of live air. If you'd like to call in and converse with Ben Beazel regarding these matters, the phone number is 818-572-2947. Beazel is a history professor, and there's lots that he can tell us about these time periods that he's talking about. And, of course, they do have bearing on some of the events that we're seeing today. Some of you have enough knowledge about it to understand the relevance, and I just really appreciate you joining us tonight, This is National Network in Action. I want you to know that tomorrow night we will be talking to Ms. Nancy Lockhart, who is a human rights advocate regarding criminal justice. Also, on Sunday night, we will be talking to a psychiatrist regarding the mental health care system. That would be on Human Rights Demand channel, which is a totally different channel. But you can see both of these programs listed if you go to Mary Loves Justice Human Rights Events. Mary Loves Justice Human Rights Events. On Saturday
night. Okay, Mary.
Okay, you're back?
I am. I wasn't able to get John, but if you're able to extend for the full 45 minutes, you might be able to get this. I've just put this into his voicemail, and so but you know, just need to let him know that.
Did you talk to his voicemail?
Yeah, I've got it to where he can record. I've had two people this week that have asked me how to record these conversations when I talk to them on their phone. And so if that's anything to be of use to your listeners, that's something we're studying now, is how to help people record their phone calls when they talk to these court officials, call county records, and ask them the questions about who's preserving the records. Our courthouse here in central Kansas is supposed to be a fallout shelter. So they really don't have a decent place to store these land records here in the county.
Are you there?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we've only got 2 more minutes of live airtime. And I've been telling people that this is Vin Beasel talking to us about courthouse burnings and how they relate to Agenda 21. And I'm going to leave it to you to tell them good night. But it's only for the people listening by computer. It will be on the tape of this show. So we have another 15 minutes that we can talk off air. And the whole thing will be on the tape of this show, which we ask you to listen to at your pleasure. So go right ahead, Ben. I'm going to let you finish up. Thank you.
Okay.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. Satisfied with the message with normal delivery. Your message has been sent.
Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, Ben.
Are you there?
You have 60 seconds to complete, okay? So don't worry about me because I don't know anything about your subject. Just go ahead and tell the people what you want them to know, please. Thank you.
Okay. The term Mississippi burnings, they made a movie about it. So what I'm going to do next is look up that phrase Mississippi burning with the word courthouse records. And then we'll take this state by state, teach people how to find this stuff. It was buried under all the other kitten, photos and videos and there's lots of entertainment going on to keep people entertained rather than educate their minds, challenge them. Our way of thinking is to kind of follow the crowd and practice making large bovine animal noises as we march and step. I want to mention again, Welcome to the Reservation by Russell Means. It was one of his last interviews that he gave in regard to how we're all systematically being thinned out, thin out the population, deprive them of, healthy, diet, the ability to grow their own food. We, have to find, better ways to sustain ourselves and to educate ourselves and to allow ourselves to be educated by the young people have the skills, but they don't have the interest because their minds are on other things. My daughter has become a louder voice, still barely above a whisper, but in the movement that's known as Black Lives Matter. My daughter's become very vocal on her Facebook page on the matter of civil justice from her viewpoint. And so I also commend those who pursue justice for all and Native Lives Matter. And see, once we understand what it means to be, natives of the earth, then it doesn't matter what color of our skin. It becomes a way of life. It becomes a way for us to sustain ourselves and to use our talents to bless, our neighbors. Watch out for each other. What we used to say in the corrections department, to watch your back, meant to watch, each other's back. Well, you and I are having a conversation, Mary, then we're watching as we're over each other's shoulders, face to face. We're watching out for each other. And so since our Lord and Savior is also watching our backs, then we're surrounded by, people we trust. You, me, and the Lord, as we're, form a safety net around our children and grandchildren. Brothers and sisters who, may not be aware of this Agenda 21. So we can help them know what terms to find to look up. A few years back, we stopped giving out websites because those websites would be taken down, dismantled. All you have to do is change a single letter or number in a website or put in an extra dot, and that information, disappears into the archives. So by using keywords such as everything related to fracking, a dedicated group of bloggers, web bloggers, that made sure that people knew that fracking causes earthquakes. And, I mean, as they say, that ain't the half of the story. And so we find, weekly, monthly, sometimes daily, we find resources and material on subjects that we may not know a whole lot about. But once we know, what keywords, such as the role that nitroglycerin plays in blowing up wells, hydraulic fracturing using nitroglycerin, we trace back to the 1840s a specific court case that we found when we typed in nitroglycerin and natural gas. And since nitroglycerin being a component of dynamite, I don't discuss that a whole lot. People, get the gist of the idea. But it was so volatile that the neighbors were concerned in this one township that since it'll, has a kill ratio of, it can take out 500 yards of property, if it goes off, through accidental handling, it can take out, count 500 steps from your house in any direction, right? Your house goes out.
So, Ben, are you saying that some of these early courthouse burnings started by them maybe fracking, even way back then? Were they fracking? Were they using that nitro to frack back then?
Well, nitrile was used in down hole in water wells to basically blow out your neighbor's wells to steal their water. It was all done legally, you know, as you could get whatever came onto your land, you know, because you had the mineral rights, you know. In some states, they still allow you to go down, you know, as far as you want. And see, Mary, that's why they want these pipelines. That's why they want these federal highways, high-speed rail. They don't care about what's on the surface. You know, that's all temporary, like window dressing, a movie set, so to speak. Kind of like that hog farm in Crawford, Texas. It was just there whenever Bush wanted to go down there and look like he was a, you know, a Texan. But see, the Texans consider him to be a carpetbagger, and the term carpetbagger comes from those who came down from Connecticut and Boston with, you know, empty bags and went back with their, what they called carpet bags, with just whatever they could grab to put, you know, all the money that they got from stealing the land of those who were still, you know, under Reconstruction laws, came to be known as Jim Crow laws. But you get the idea is that, you know, it wasn't just that there was a dozen different ways to burn a courthouse. Some of those methods
could
be traced.
And what was the purpose, the way you see it, for burning those courthouses? Were they trying to destroy the land deeds and records, like I suspect?
Exactly. I mean, there was a lot of records that had to be destroyed. The Chicago Fire in 1871, I, you know, just mentioned that briefly because of the way that the city burned for 3 days, and the eyewitness reports that it was going on both sides of Green Bay, you know, of Wisconsin as well as Illinois. You know, the entire region was bursting into flames. Part of that was from coal dust, from burning, you know, all the industrial waste that was going into the air, you know, made the air flammable. And that was something we discovered, you know, 20, 30 years ago, was that the coal dust was probably a factor. But when I worked in the drilling industry, I went one day to my dad and I said, Dad, this, after about 18 months, I felt confident to go to my dad, who was in his 90s, and say, Dad, this is what we're doing on the rig operations. Well, see, at that point, he revealed that he had drilled along Lake Michigan for water, and that was when I began to realize that I'd overlooked the entire water drilling industry, you know, not necessarily drilling for oil or gas, but the presence of oil and gas in the wells would have allowed, you know, a core group of people to store flammable water or natural gas, because you can't bring up oil and gas without bringing up the water. They haven't figured out how to do that. They just take the water with oil and the gas, and that's also part of Agenda 21, is to take away the water, you know, take it out of our reach.
Is it? My goodness. That sounds bad.
Well, it's, you know, like I said, you have to think corporate contractor. You have to think, you know, as they do, that it all belongs to them and that we're only here at their, you know, whim and pleasure to serve their, you know, their agenda, and that they can exterminate us. There's a movie about extermination orders called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and they spell pajamas with a Y, P-Y-J-A-M-A, J-A-M-A-S. But I point out that J-A-M-A is also Journal of, you know, Medicine. I forget all the letters, but ties back to the role of Agenda 21 in the pharmaceutical industry, George Merck being head of bioweapons manufacturing at Fort Detrick, Maryland in 1941. And that's attached to his bio on Wikipedia. So virtually everything that we buy that they make is laced with chemicals which destroy our oxygen supply, you know, in our bodies as well as in our food, our water. Without oxygen, we all die a slow death.
Wow. We don't want to do that. So what can we do about it? What, if anything, can people unite and do regarding this Agenda 21?
Well, as it says in the book of Malachi 3:16, that as often as we converse with one another, the Lord is giving us wisdom as to know what to do going forward, is to stop as it were and stand still. You know, go to those who can explain the different, you know, concepts as you've been doing. You know, educate ourselves, and then when we have an understanding. I mean, I've been doing internet radio since June of 2008. It really doesn't get any easier, and we're not really concerned about whether or not more people are listening. But the people who are, you know, going and doing the research, the challenge is to be able to get, as we would say, to get the word out, you know, to warn our neighbors as we would our grandchildren.
And so the main thing, I think, for people to think about, according to this presentation tonight, seems to be that fracking is not in any of our best interest. Is that right?
But it's knowing what to do with the key words. For example, fracking, hydraulic fracturing, followed occupy, because the occupy was necessary for us to learn about real estate, learn about banking, you know, to occupy our minds with knowledge, which flows from, you know, inspiration, you know, from the good, from the best fountains, as it were. There's a passage that says that, therefore, with joy, you know, shall they, or ye, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That means there's more than one well. And so the best solution I found is first to go back to the old books, the Old Testament, you know, the old Bible in any language that you can read it. Ezekiel was told how to fix the problem, you know, 25 to 100 years ago, you know, 500 years before the birth of Christ. The Lord gave the answer to Ezekiel, shows up in chapter 47. The importance of flooding the deserts with seawater. The hydraulic fracturing can be a completely natural process over, you know, hundreds or thousands of years. And we trace it back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. It says that on the day that Noah entered the ark, that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. That's hydraulic fracturing in the book of Genesis.
Wow. The book of Genesis. Ladies and gentlemen, we just ran out of time. We want to thank you for joining us on Courthouse Burnings and Agenda 21. Thank you, Van Beasel.